Let us bow in prayer. Eternal God and gracious Father, we come into thy presence this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and we pray that thou wilt draw near to us and speak to our hearts from thy word. Thou wilt bless us and do us good this day, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We do welcome you all to our service this morning in the Lord's name. Trust the Lord will bless you as you've come into our midst and been able to join with us. Realize there are some who still cannot or feel comfortable to join with us, and we trust that the Lord will bless them as well this morning as they link into our morning worship service. Could I remind you of the baskets at the exits for your offerings as the Lord has prospered you to give to the Lord's work. 6:20 to 6:45, the pre-church prayer meeting in the youth room upstairs. Glad to see more gathering as they feel able to do so, and we trust that you will again be able to gather with us tonight for that season of prayer. And then the gospel service at 7, we're speaking again on great words of the gospel tonight. The subject is repentance, and we trust that you'll remember the evening gathering. Join with us if you can for the evening service at 7 p.m. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m., a meeting of the Kirk session. Please remember that, members of Kirk session. And then Tuesday evening is our missionary prayer meeting. Speaker is Miss Joyce Walsh, who's a missionary among boys and girls. She will have a presentation. There'll be a missionary offering also at that meeting. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday school has commenced again, as you know, in an open format for now and for the weeks ahead. That's the way it will be. Do remember that if you can join, or parents feel happy to let their children come. Young people come then, they're very, very welcome. 11:30 morning worship and the evening service at 7. I hope to be here at both services next Lord's Day for these services. We did hope to have the presentation or the availability of the prizes for the League of Church Loyalty, but that will happen next Lord's Day. Just all these COVID restrictions hold things up, but they will be available as you leave the services next Lord's Day. That's for 2020, so we're still thinking about 2021 as we're in the midst of that. But do remember, please, that next Lord's Day for the boys and girls for their attendance at church. It will be one prize, same rate of prize for everyone because of the situation last year. So all the children will get the same rate of prize. The Missionary Council offering baskets will be available at the exits as well next Lord's Day. Please remember all the restrictions on entering and exiting while you're in the building, social distancing, hand sanitizing, and of course face covering unless you're exempt. Lord's Day evening, the 23rd of May, Family and Friends Night Service, special testimony from Derek Preston. Many of you know Derek, a wonderful story of God's grace, recovery from cancer and also from coronavirus. Do invite others as they feel able to come to that special service on the 23rd. And normally we have supper, but we can't have supper, so we rule that out right away. But I trust that you will be able to join us for that special service to hear a brother testifying. Special word of thanks from Faith and Action Missions, from Donald Fleming for the gift forwarded for the Lord's work from the church here. A letter of thanks has been forwarded to us. And also Calvin has asked me to say a word of thanks on behalf of his mum and himself for all the care of the congregation that has been shown towards his mum and dad through this time. As you know, Carl still remains in hospital. And especially for your prayers and all the kindness and care of the congregation, it's greatly appreciated by the Stripp family at this time. And then could I mention this little booklet, Teaching the Truth on Drugs by Chris Killen. It's free and it's available for parents and of course for young people as well. You're facing the challenges of this in the school situation, maybe other aspects of life. And so these are at the exits. Please pick them up. If you need an extra copy, take it. And it's free and read it. And I trust it'll be of help to you as parents and also to young people in these times in which we live. I think those are all the announcements. We're going to commence with the singing of the paraphrase. We're continuing the singing of this paraphrase. It's based on 1 Corinthians 13, and we're singing verses 7 to 10, keeping our seats as we sing, and then we will stand for prayer. Thank you. you're not able to stand, please don't worry, just remain seated. Eternal God and gracious Father, we come into thy presence this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the merits of the precious blood, we stand upon redemption ground, the ground of peace. We rejoice that we're found in Christ today. And many of us in this service can rejoice for that day when we came to Jesus as we were, weary, worn, and sad. We found in him a resting place, and he hath made us glad. We rejoice in the riches of thy so great salvation. And Father, as we come this morning, we pray that you'll bless the ministry of thy word already to the children in the Sunday school. And we pray that thou wilt encourage the young people who have listened to thy word this morning, that many in their early days will come to know Christ and to trust him as their own and personal Savior. We pray that thou wilt bless those who minister to them and give them help and grace in these times. We thank thee for being able to gather again in this fashion in your house in these trying times. We thank thee, Lord, for helping our congregation through this period. We thank thee for the comfort you've given to those who remain distressed and who remain confined to their homes, and those who have illness at this time. We do pray especially for Mary, she recovers, for Jim, and Lord, we pray for Carl. We pray that thou wilt minister, and Lord, to these, thy servants, in these times, to Dorothy as well. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt undertake for all of them and others too, who don't wish their names to be mentioned, but desire our prayers. O God, we ask of thee at this time that thou wilt help them in their time of need. Those going through treatments, those, O God, going through deep distresses, we pray that thou wilt help them and encourage them and bless them in these days. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember this people. And we pray that our hearts this morning will be open to thy word, that we will receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls and to build us up in our most holy faith. We pray for those who are not saved. We pray that even this morning, in this very service, they may come to Christ and know the joy and the peace and the pardon that the Savior gives. And we pray that many today will trust in Christ and know his salvation. Bless throughout our congregations. We thank you for the free church in these days. Continue to bless it. Remember our moderator and the officers of our presbytery. Keep them, Lord, and bless our ministers and our students. Remember the students soon to face exams. Lord, that thou wilt bless them at this time, and that thou wilt guide them in these days. Father, be with us now. Grant us thy presence. Bless our missionaries across the world to meet their every need at this time. Think of the awful situation in India at this time. Thank you for the aid that was sent even from this little country to help them at this time. Lord, we pray that those people may know thy presence. And in the darkness, thy light will shine into many hearts, even in that land and in the nations of the world at this time. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we're thinking about the story of Noah and the ark. And of course, boys and girls, God told Noah to build the ark. As we said last week, there wasn't a drop of rain anywhere. And yet, God told him to build the ark. And he built the ark. And of course, the animals and the creeping things, two of every kind, went into the ark. And then the people went into the ark, Noah and his family. And God gave that invitation, boys and girls. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. And so Noah and his household, his family, went into the ark. And boys and girls, this morning, that's the great invitation of the gospel to all of us today, to come into the ark, because the ark speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come in to Christ this morning. The invitation of the gospel, come unto me, Jesus said. And so they were in the ark. And boys and girls, the people outside thought they were mad. But they were glad they were in the ark because they were safe and they were secure in the ark. And boys and girls, God shut the door of the ark. God shut the door. And you know, boys and girls, those who were in the ark were closed up and they were safe. But those that were outside the ark, they were in great danger. And in fact, we discover that the flood came. And of course, those who were in the ark were saved. But those that were outside the ark, they suffered awful judgment and death. And boys and girls, this morning, the invitation to you is clear. Come into the ark. Come into Christ. And you will be safe. And then, boys and girls, if you stay outside, you're in danger. If you reject Christ, you're in danger. Oh, that you might come to him this morning. Come unto me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. Now, we're going to sing a little chorus, boys and girls, just now, and we'll keep our seats again. We'll just sing it. You can't shake the hands. You have to do the virtual shake hands, unless it's your brother or your sister or your mummy or daddy. You can do it okay. But otherwise, it's a virtual shake hands away far beyond Jordan. We'll sing it through just the once. Far beyond Jordan. We're going to read from the Word of God this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We were in this chapter last week, and we want to continue our consideration of this chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, and reading from verse 1, let us hear the Word of God. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, you take that word as love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, it is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. We're going to sing a hymn that is not in our book, and I mentioned it last Lord's Day, and I'm thankful to those who turned it up for me in another book. It's one of Charles Wesley's. O love divine, how sweet thou art. When shall I find my longing heart? All taken up by thee, I thirst, I faint. I die to prove the greatness of redeeming love, the love of Christ to me. And I've been tortured. Robert here during the week get a tune, and he's found a tune, and he's got a tune, and he's been practicing his tune, and I trust you'll be able to pick it up. We'll have a go at it. Now, the last line we sing twice. So in case you go on to the next verse, and you leave us all behind. The last line of each verse is sung over twice. So we'll have a go, Robert. Taste of it, and then we'll start now. Okay, Rob, thank you. I can say is we're learning, so we'll try it again some other time, but it's hard to get on sometimes to a new tune and a new hymn, but I could hear you singing a bit better behind your masks as it went on there, and thank you, Robert, for picking that up for us. Let us stand for prayer, please. Let us turn to the Lord and look to the Lord to help us and to enable us and empower us today as we think about his word in the closing moments of our service. Our gracious God and loving eternal Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning again to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the portion of Scripture we were in last Lord's Day morning. And the subject is Christ-like love. Christ-like love. We're thinking today of verses 4 to 7 in particular. Last Lord's Day, we were thinking especially on the preeminence of love and how vital love is. We could have all of these things that are mentioned in verses 1 to 3. And yet, if we have not love, we are a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. But you know, becoming more like Christ, this ought to be our desire. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." That the world looking upon us may see the Lord Jesus Christ in us. It was said of the saintly McShane, it wasn't what he said, it was how he looked. You see, the Savior was seen in him. Love is hard to define. Consequently, the best way to understand love is to see it in action. Actions speak louder than words. In these verses 4 to 7 of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul takes love and he wraps it in flesh and blood. And he shows it ministering through human personality. If we substitute the Lord Jesus Christ in there, the name of the Lord Jesus for charity or love in these verses, we have a beautiful description of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two contrasting pictures in the opening three verses. We see there in those verses someone who has a lot of gifts but no love. But in these verses 4 to 7 before us today, we see one who has a lot of love and apparently no gifts. In some measure, the church at Corinth fitted into the first of these, but it found no place in the second at all. It was completely without love. In the second picture, there is no reference to any gifts. And yet, as we read these wonderful words, we feel the impact of this life of love, this Christ-likeness of character. While gifts without love are absolutely worthless, yet love, apparently without any gifts, is a quality that will stand the test of time and eternity. And this picture of love, I suggest to you, is a photograph of the Lord Jesus Christ in his inward character. And in his church, his body, he wants to have many reprints. You see, we're looking here at the original himself. He looks at us for what he is in the world. So are we to be. He's looking for the perfect reproduction of his life of love in us. The love like this is to be like the Lord. And our unlikeness to Christ is proportionate to our failure in love. Christians are those who are born again of the Holy Spirit of God, in whom the Savior abides. We are partakers of his nature, the divine nature. His character is to be revealed in us, which is love. And this description of love shows it in sharp contrast to everything that was manifested in this Corinthian church to whom Paul wrote. and also of what we have ever been ourselves. And so there is not only the preeminence of love here in this chapter, in the first three verses, but here in verses 4 to 7, there is the prerogative of love, its virtue. And these descriptions here in these verses are what I might call today the ingredients of love. In each we see the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize His purpose, that each one of us should be like Him in this character of love. These verses are a checklist for our own personality. We can discover whether we are Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled Christians by laying our lives alongside what Paul says love will do in our lives. As we go through these descriptions here of love, I trust that the Holy Spirit of God will write His Word upon our hearts. Now there are many of these, and I don't expect to get through them all this morning, but I will begin. Love suffereth long, verse 4. That's the first quality that love displays. In other words, having been wronged, love is patient and silent. It refuses to give way to anger, though it could rightly be resentful when it has been unjustly treated. Though love suffers wounds and injury, it doesn't strike back. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ when He was reviled? He reviled not again. What about you? This love, or this agape love, as we noted last week, that's the word in the Greek, agape. This divine love has a long fuse. It patiently continues to put up with the insults and errors of others. You remember there in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 22, how Peter came to the Lord asking Him, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" He said, "Till 7 times. But the Lord replied, "I say not unto thee, until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching Peter here and teaching us all today that love is long-suffering. You remember the words there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 20 to 23. 1 Peter 2 verses 20 to 23. And Peter says here, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer hurt, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable to God. For even hereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps." And here we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on to speak about what we mentioned earlier. When He was reviled, He reviled not again. And then if you look over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it talks about the Lord is long-suffering to usward. You think of that love displayed to you and me. The long-suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord wants replicated in us. Seen in us, the love of Christ in our lives. It suffereth long. And I want you to think secondly this morning about the kindness of this love, because as we go on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, love, it says, "Love or charity suffereth long and is kind." Is kind. To endure wrong could be just a triumph of obstinacy, but to be kind to the person who has done the wrong is a triumph of grace. It has a mild attitude towards others. Kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can read. If we had more kindness in our churches and in our relationship to others, we would have fewer problems. Even sometimes with our friends, is it not true that we've been loveless and unkind so often? The greatest that you can ever do this side of heaven, and perhaps some of us haven't much time to do it, is to be kind to God's children, to be kind to each other. I'm amazed that during this lockdown, on many occasions, on many, many occasions, I rang up people and asked them how they were, and when we weren't having church services, and talked to them on the phone. And they said to me, you know, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so rang me up. I was so kind. Just a telephone call, but it was kind. It was kindness. So-and-so asked me, did I want some food delivered to the door? Wasn't that so kind, Mr. Smiley? I didn't need them to do that, but the offer was so kind. Kindness. And that's a good characteristic for us to have within our fellowship, a kindness toward others. Perhaps someone who's on their own, or some folk who have been ill. And we exhibit this kindness. We drop off something at their door. Or we give them a phone call. Or we say, look, we're going to the supermarket. Do you need something? I know you're not able to get out. But this is so challenging to all of us this morning. Kindness. A bit of kindness goes a long way. This is Christ-like love. Simple kindness toward a brother or sister or towards someone else in society that we know to be in need. But then thirdly, this love has no envy. Charity envieth not. It doth not begrudge the greater privileges and gifts to others or seek out gain for itself. Only love can see all the inequalities of life and remain content with its own place. Where there is no love, there will inevitably be envy. This was the seed, of course, of the first murder in human history in Genesis 4, for Cain killed his brother Abel. It was out of envy, pure spite. And envy, sadly, appears even in the hearts of we who are believers in Christ. It is a vice so unlovely, so grievous to the Lord, so hard to overcome. But love is perfectly content with the will of God. The Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good and never desired good to be done to himself. Are you eaten up with envy today, jealous of others' gifts or opportunities, abilities, possessions, position in life, whatever? And Paul knew that these Corinthian believers were saying, I'd like to have this gift. And that's the context, you see. I want to have this gift, or that gift, or the other gift. And I'm jealous of that person because he or she has the gift that I don't have. And jealousy had ingrained itself in the Corinthian church. And Paul was addressing all of this. It was a serious problem. Serious issue. And now in the days of the early church, jealousy is one of the most damaging problems. And even today in the lives of evangelical believers. And each of us tend to be jealous of those in our own field. Preachers even have a tendency to be jealous of other preachers who preach better than they. Are we able to rejoice in the success of others in our field? When others are success, are we filled with joy or are we filled with envy? Jealousy. The Bible says here, love suffereth long and is kind. It envieth not. A.W. Pink, the great commentator, said this: love for the brethren is far more than an agreeable society whose views are the same. Love for each other in Christ. Paul said we are all one in Christ Jesus. The unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace is cultivated by love. And then the next thing is this: love vaunteth not itself. The word vaunteth here means to put on show, to parade and imagine superiority. And Paul is saying, love never shows off. And one real problem in Christian circles today is the tendency of the church to become an entertainment center, where Christians can show off their spiritual gifts and compete with one another to demonstrate their superiority. We need to remain aware that Jesus never showed off. He never acted superior. Love does not show off or boast any or brag. It is not proud, nor is it conceited. Love never seeks to win the praise and applause of others. When someone begins to boast, they are advertising their emptiness and even their ignorance. There's no swagger about this love. It is too big for that. Remember this, dear friends, that Jesus laid aside his glory and humbled himself. Philippians 2 tells us, for the sake of others, for the sake of us. How about you? Are you boastful? Are you conceited and proud? The Bible says here, love vaunteth not itself. And then love is not puffed up. Again, verse 4. It's not puffed up. It's never arrogant but humble, this love. It's never self-satisfied or contemptuous of others. The person who is self-satisfied is always contemptuous of others. The Lord Jesus Christ never showed vanity or conceit or contempt of others. Do you? Do I? If we look back at the earlier chapters of 1 Corinthians, you discover that Paul uses on a number of occasions the words puffed up. For example, chapter 4, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, he uses it there. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you is puffed up for one against another. You see how it can be used against somebody else. One against another, puffed up. And then going down that same chapter, verses 18 and 19, 1 Corinthians 4. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Again, chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, verse 2. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. This pride, this arrogance, this being puffed up. You know, when I think of something being puffed up, I think of a frog that swells up itself before it croaks. Pride is an inflated idea of one's own importance. And Paul is speaking to the Romans in Romans chapter 12. He talked about not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. The humble spirit being clothed with humility, 1 Peter 5. Someone has said that we are attracted to the peacock by the grandeur of its plumage, but are driven away by the discordant notes of its voice. And Cecil will know the place I was staying when I was a child, up near a place called Three Hook Cross, and of course with some friends and relations, and they had this peacock. Now I was warned about it, and I was sleeping in the room, of course, right next to where the peacock was as proud as a peacock. Early in the morning, its voice was very discordant. Its plumage was beautiful, And I was ready, if I had a bucket of water, to throw it over it, to get it, to keep quiet. There's an old fable, you know, about two swans and a frog, which also applies here. The frog asked the swans, "Would you like to see the wonders of my pond?" And the swans said they would, and the frog showed them the pond. And when the three of them had reached the surface again, the two swans asked, "Would you like to see the wonders of our space?" The frog said, "Yes, but I can't fly." The swans answered, "We can sort that. We'll hold a stick in our beaks. Hold on to the stick with your mouth, and we'll fly you around." And lo and behold, it was happening. Or so the fable says. As they flew over a village, two women looked up, and one of them said, "Have you ever seen anything like that before? Who in the world thought of doing that?" And the frog said, "I did." And he smashed down to the ground. You see, my friend, the Bible says pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And just like the old frog, we get so high and mighty, we'll come down crashing. We will come to a fall. Love is not puffed up. It's not puffed up. And then verse 5. 1 Corinthians 13 again, verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, this love. It's not rude or ill-mannered, but always courteous. This is the love of God in the shown in the little everyday things of life, the good manners of a child of God. Never be bad-mannered. I'm sure your parents teach you good manners. Never be bad-mannered. There's so much blundering goodness and uncouth religion and unlovely testimony and unattractive Christian witness because of a lack of love. And people, even though they may be speaking the truth, as I said last Lord's Day morning, they don't speak it in love. We have to do that. Even though we are speaking to someone who is diametrically opposed to us and we're speaking the truth of God's word, we have to speak it in love. They have to be courteous. Courteous. And the Lord Jesus Christ always said and did the right thing in the right way at the right time. Yet there's often such a lack of real Christian goodness and courtesy in our everyday lives. How about you this morning? I asked myself that question as well. What about me? Many believers today pride themselves in their honesty, being able to tell people exactly what they think. I told them what I thought. But the spirit-controlled Christian is never blunt and brutal, is never rude and never crude. You need to learn these things. A Christian who is mastered by love in their life is the self-mannered person in a crowd, the best-mannered person, I should say, in the crowd. We need only to examine Christ's life to learn. He was the perfect gentleman. He was a perfect gentleman. I remember a man who used to visit in our home when I lived with my parents in the Ravenhill Road. And even as a lad, I heard my dad say, naming this man by his name, "He's the perfect gentleman." So he was. I used to see him when we were out kicking football and kicking up the ball up against his door. And he never said boo to us. He was the perfect gentleman. And many a time he would rightly have been able to come out and say, "Look, you're going to put my windows in. You're wrecking my door." But he never said anything. He was a perfect gentleman. How we need this gentleness. To have at all times this well-mannered actions in our lives and in our churches. I remember in a situation in a church on one occasion, I was dealing not my own car, but a situation I was on a commission, chairman of a commission. This man came in, rushed through the door and shook his fist in my face. I said, "Brother, look, we're believers, we're brethren. You don't do things like that. You don't do things like that. Later on, I met this brother in a shop. Years have passed. He called me aside. He said, "Mr. Smiley, I want to apologize to you." He says, "I was out of order." Years later, but fair enough, he did. Courtesy. Courtesy. And then, seeketh not her own. Love, this agape love, is not selfish, but self-forgetful. Love does not grasp for its own rights, but finds its joy in serving others. Our love must not be interested in how something will affect us, or in what is going to come our way. Our love must not look rather at the things of others. How often we seek our own advancements and interests. Sometimes at the expense of other people. Entirely unconcerned for their welfare and their blessing and their growth. The Lord Jesus Christ looked out for other people. He left that heavenly glory in order to die on the cross to save us from our sins. What selfless love. What marvelous love toward us sinful men and women. Oh, that the love of God might be shed abroad in our lives, in our church. This agape love seeketh not her own. B.B. Warfield, that great man of God, he said this, "He who is not filled with love, or she who is not filled with love, is necessarily small, withered, shriveled in their outlook on life and things." May God give us this love. This Christ-like love. Have you got it this morning? I asked myself the question, have I got it? Can you put your name in this chapter? Whatever your name is. Can I put my name in there, Al? Can I put my name in there this morning? Can this church put its name in there? Christ-like love. That's what the Lord's wanting. Have you experienced in your life, if you're not saved, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He wants to save you this morning. Will you come to Him? Let us pray. Father, indelibly write the truth of Thy word upon the hearts of every listener. Thank You for those who have come this morning. We appreciate that. Those who have listened in, we pray that Thou will bless all this morning. Meet every need. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to a hymn which you'll see on the screen, 388, "Loved with Everlasting Love." We'll keep our seats as we sing it, and then we'll stand for the closing prayer. Let us stand, please, for prayer. Father, we thank you for thy word. Apply it to every willing heart. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.